Zoom recording. Okay. Arif. This actually Arif is actually a very good topic for vaccines, right? Because if you're, you know, if you're under the age of 60, you're mostly not so much besikun, right? But you're holding that you need to stay safe from corona to keep other people safe from corona. In which case you're holding by cholesterol arivim zelazet. So actually Arvos is really, you know, is really the core concept of the whole vaccination drive. And the whole like keeping corona restrictions in the first place.
Is that where that's where the term comes from? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Arvos. So Kol Yisrael Arivim Zelazeh is really comes from our Sugya, from Arif, right? They're responsible, they're taking responsibility for each other, or they have responsibility for each other. Right. Yes, it's actually the same word. It literally means, you know, if they're guarantors for each other, or they're responsible for each other. Which actually, by the way, could be part of the explanation of our whole sugya, that potentially, and we'll get this in a minute. Why one level, one way to deal with the whole situation of Arev was essentially to look at it as, you know, so Tosa says that what happens, it's as if you got the money, right? It's as if the money went through the Arev, right? In which case, right, you have to kind of think of how does that totally work. But essentially he says it's as if the money went from the malve to the arev and then to the love, right? Now that could be because it's really like a three-way loan, it's a triangle loan. I'm not really lending to the malve, love, I'm really lending to the arev, who's then lending to the malve, right? In which case, the chiyuv of the arev makes a lot of sense, right? Because at the end of the day, it's basically as if really the arev is the one who borrowed it, right? Now, the problem is, that's fine, right? But let's say you don't see it as if it really went through the arev's hands, right? Why then, how then can you see the arev as being responsible if it's not, and the money never went through his hands, right? So an alternative approach, right, was that of the Ritva, who says that it's totally separate, right? There are two separate things going on, right? One is that there's a, you know, there's a halva from the malve to the love. The arev is issuing an insurance policy to the malve, and the malve, right, is paying hana to the arev. Right, he's mishtabi bahana. In which case, it's an insurance policy. It's paid in some sort of social currency, and there are really two distinct financial interactions going on. Right, the Rambam says that it's also totally distinct, but not because it's an insurance policy, but simply because it's a commitment. Personal commitments are binding, so you can have a financial personal commitment that you committed to. And that creates a chiyuv mamon, right? Regardless of the fact that there's no sort of financial payment going on, okay? But all those are trying to do is say that there's some sort of, either that there's really a halva from the malve to the arev, right? Or, right, there's some, the arev created some sort of direct financial responsibility to the malve, right? So really the two, so far the two kavei chashiva are the arev is the love, right? Or he's the one who created the loan. He's responsible for the loan. The other chashiva is that the malve and the love have a loan, and separately the malve and the arev have some sort of relationship, either an insurance policy, or the Rambam says, chiev atzmo, right? He's simply creating a direct personal responsibility, and you could create commitments to other people that have financial repercussions. And it doesn't have to be based on some sort of payment, okay? What can you find a middle ground, right? Can you find a way to say that it's not that, oh, the arev and the malve are totally disconnected from the love? And it's not that the malve is really lending to the arev, right? Let's say, and this came up a lot in our discussion on Sunday, is maybe, right, because, right, the Arev is taking responsibility for the Lovet, and he's the one who's causing this whole thing to happen. Right? Maybe we can sort of give him a measure of responsibility for the Loves loan, but still to say that it's the Loves loan, right? And we had some trouble finding a legal basis for that, right? One option we kind of brought up was that maybe it's like almost like a form of damages, right? He's the reason why this halva happened, and therefore we can view it as, you know, as his responsibility. That was a little bit dachuk, right? But that was like kind of one way to look at it. In which case, really, there's the arev is involved in the relationship between the malva and the lova, right? But the halva is still between the malva and the lova, right? The arev just takes on some of that responsibility. Maybe we could go a step further and suggest that the very fact that he's taking responsibility for somebody else is actually, maybe that's significant, right? When we say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, what happens? Right? You didn't make Kiddush. You made Kiddush already. Someone else did not make Kiddush. And you, right, because you have a responsibility for the well-being and the spiritual well-being of your fellow Jew, are therefore able to make Kiddush again for them. So you're not being motzi yourself, right? You're being motzi them, right? But their well-being, their spiritual obligations, right, are sufficient grounds for you to be able to make another bracha. Maybe, right, there's sort of like the same, you could apply the same sort of idea, right? There's a sort of responsibility of one person to another, which in general does not take on, right, oh, you have to actually give them money or take upon yourself their debts. But maybe that enables you to take over their responsibilities or take responsibility for them, right? So, you know, I mean, we could sort of talk like other cases, like, I don't know, let's say I took a child, you know, a child goes to college, who pays the tuition? Or a child goes to school, who pays tuition? And so the parents pay tuition. Again, that's not really fair because it's really a chiv on the parent. But the idea is that ultimately there's certain people who have, you know, who can take responsibility for others, and then it's become their responsibility. So maybe the arev is taking responsibility for the love and the love's well-being. And even though the halva is to the love, right, the arev has responsibility for him. And to the malve, because he's the one who caused him to lend it in the first place. Right? Now, this is very speculative. But what it lets you do is it lets you sort of take, you know, obligations or responsibilities of one person and tie them to another person without claiming that the person who is now responsible is really the source of this responsibility. Right? The problem with it is that it's very amorphous, I admit. But we're gonna bring it back up in a few minutes when we get to some of the shittos, and I think that might really explain it. So the idea of arvos might really be able to explain the din of arvos. Right? It might really be a parallel. Okay. Fine. So basically, so far we've seen, right, these three models, right? The nafkamina that we saw that was really stuck out was the question of edim, right? Can the edim on the halva be related to the arev? Right? They definitely on the piraon they can't be because the piraon, Ema's going to do it, okay? The piraon, obviously the edim can't be related to the arev because if they testify that he did or did not pay back, right, the nafkamina of that would be whether or not the arev is chayiv. So obviously you can't trust them to say whether or not the love paid back, because if the love paid back, then the arev's off the hook. And they're related to the arev. But can they testify to whether or not there was a halva in the first place? So Rashi says they cannot. The Ramban says they can. Right, which clearly, I think, points to the question of, is the arev, right, part of this game, part of the halva or not? Okay, so I thought that was a good, very good nafkamina of that question. How much is the arev really a participant? Now, what about kiddushin? Okay, in terms of kiddushin, for Tosfos, right? Tosfos says, oh, well, it's chashuv ki'ilu mekabel hamal ve'atzmo, right? Kimo b'kiddushin, d'mikudesh v'smidin arev chashuv ki'ilu kibla mimenu. So, for Tosfos, how does kiddushin midin arev work? You have regular kiddushin, right? It's as if he gave it right to her. What that doesn't do, it doesn't give us any tools for refining our understanding of Kiddushin, because we already know what's Kiddushin, right? Whatever Kiddushin is, this is the same thing, because he's giving her the money. But it doesn't end up in her hands. Okay, fine, right? But legally, right, monetarily, he just gave her money directly. She then passed it on to someone else, right? She just passed it on to Bob. But he gave her money, he gave her money and she passed it on to Bob, in which case, right, Mikudesh, that's just like any other case. So this statement here of Tosus is really tells us a lot about Arev, but not a lot about Kiddushin. Rabbeinu Chananel, I think, might be telling us more about Kiddushin. Okay, Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kiva diika hai gavna Arev, chayv l'shalim, kima di kabel hu biyadav dami, hachanami amrinan dibura te labloni kabalahi. The Rabbeinu Chananel says that they're saying, oh, Tain Laploni is as if she was Mekabelet, right? Now, what's interesting is that he doesn't say like, oh, it's as if it went through her to him, right? He's saying that this sort of situation is a Kabbalah. Now, the Kabbalah, right, and the emphasis on Biyadav, to me, rings a lot like the din of Ma'is and Asina, right? Because Ma'is and Asina is about, oh, he gave it to them. There's an actual Ma'is and Asina where there was, you know, where it was transferred over, and that transfer, that interaction is what's important more than the kesef or the hana. Right? So Rabbeinu Chananel is saying by Arev, there's actually Ma'is and Asina, biyadav. It's not only that legally it transfers the money as if it went through the middleman, right? But we actually view it as if it was literally passed through the middleman. How could that be? I think you could say it's like a din of shlichus, right? This other person is like my shliach to accept it and take it for himself. But it's just like shlichus. I didn't physically take it, but right, that person represents me here too, right? By Arev, the other person is as if he was mekabel at biyadav. Okay. So it's very similar to Tosfos. I just think the difference is that Tosfos doesn't, right, says it's an ish to the mouth that the Arev got it, right? It's as if she got it from him. Rabbeinu Chananel just adds in as if he got it biyadav. Right? Tosfos is emphasizing that the financially, it's as if it transfers through them. It's as if they're the one who got the money. Rabbeinu Chananel thinks it's as if they actually picked it up in their hand. Right, so Tosfos again, you know, and Rabbeinu Chananel, you could just say any. It doesn't matter what you think Kiddushin is. However, with Rabbeinu Chananel, the emphasis on the Kabbalah Biyad might be telling. Okay, now the Ritva, who thinks this, who so far has been, you know, trending with Tosfos in terms of how do we view Kiddushin, right, both in Mekadesh B'Milveh and Matana Menas L'Hachzir. When it comes to Arev, the Ritva doesn't say like Tosos because he understands the din of Arev differently, right? So he understands Arev differently, but he understands Kiddushin the same way, right? Which is interesting because what is he going to do then, right? Tosos dealt with the problem of Arev by saying that, okay, he got Kesef, right? But the Ritva can't say that because he doesn't think, right? He thinks that they're two distinct interactions. The Arev, right, never got the most of the halva. The Arev never got the money from the first party. Hold on, sorry, one second. Apologies. So what does the Ritva do? And the answer is actually not so tricky. It actually works out really nicely. Right? Remember that the Ritva thinks that that the Arev is two distinct interactions. Right? So he can't say that on the one hand, that's bad, because if there are two totally independent interactions, then the money that A gives to B, right, went directly to B without C in the middle, without the Arev in the middle. But there's a totally distinct interaction going on between A and C, right, for the insurance policy on that money. Ah, so he says what? Lo higiu liyado shel Arev lo kesef velo shava kesef. Right? In the first interaction between the Malve and the Love has nothing to do with the Arev. Afilu hachi mishtabi behana dimatile shahal hilveleze al emunasa. He's nonetheless mishubad with the hana that he got because of the fact that this guy was Malve on his trust. Right? The hana b'chol duch t'chashuv kesef. Right? He's being paid kesef. The Arev is being paid money, right, in Hana, to insure this loan, right? So the same money that's paying for the insurance policy, in the case of Kiddusha, and Miu kol mikudashas damrina b'shmaitzin, hayinu kisha amar hu, sha amar la harei mikudashas li, be'oso Hana, shenatati laploni, mana b'diburcha. Right? The Kiddushin only works if what he specifies, I'm dafka giving you kiddushin of mon- of the money that was that's paying for the insurance policy, not the money that I'm giving to the loven, right? Because they're two totally separate financial interactions. There's the loan and there's the insurance policy. You can't be mekadesh with the loan with the fact that I'm giving money to B, because that has nothing to do with the Arev, right? The only thing that has to do with the Arev is what? Is the Hana of the insurance policy. So you have to say that explicitly, says the Ritva. Right? If you just say, oh, Harei Mekudeshes, whatever, with the money that I'm giving Bob, that's not going to work. Right? Because the money that you gave Bob is ultimately not money that has anything to do with you. You have to say, you're Harei Mekudeshesly with the Hana, which would pay for the insurance policy instead of the insurance policy. Okay? So the Ritva just keeps Lishitasa, but he just has to split between the Halva, and this is not the Halva, obviously, right? The gift that he's giving to Bob, right? And the interaction with the Arev are just two totally separate interactions. You need to specify that you're using the insurance policy interaction and that money, and not the money that you're giving to Bob. Yerucha, you had a question?
Yeah. My question was, we're not considering this interaction of insurance policy as any kind of netina. It's just Hana.
Yes, and, it's just Hana, correct. And then Hana converts to Kasa. So it's really Nesina's Kasa.
Hmm.
Right? But his emphasis is that what? Is that there's a transfer of Kasef. Right, and you can have kiddushay kasef with that kasef, because there's real kasef, and it's kasef that you could use for kinyan kiddushin.
Okay, I didn't remember what the Ritva said about like the funny. Okay.
Fine. Now the Rambam, right, the Rambam can't say either of those because the Rambam says, if you recall correctly, right, the Rambam said what? It's totally external in Arev, right? It's totally external. And what more did the Rambam say? Right.
That you gave the example of the parents who pay for the child's tuition, like they still.
That I'm not saying the Rambam. The Rambam, I think, is he sees it as a totally, totally independent personal obligation. It's a commitment. You made a commitment, and you know. You committed, so you're chayv the money, but it has nothing to do with whatever halva that the malva gave to the love. Okay, the Ritva says something similar, except that the Ritva says that there's a separate interaction of the insurance policy. The Rambam says there's no insurance policy, right? There's only one. According, the Ari just decided to be mechayv himself mamon to the malva out of the blue. Right? Essentially. So according to the Rambam, there's no connection between the Malveh and the Arev at all. Right? Except that he made a commitment to pay the Malveh money. Now, can you be mekadesh with like the a commitment to pay someone else money, and that the person is not going to collect? No, right? Can't say, oh, you know, hareat mikudeshesli with the commitment that you otherwise would be mechayiv yourself to pay me money, and now you're not going to be mechayiv yourself to pay me money, right? That would not, I do not think that would make any sense, right? She comes to him and says, look, right now, I would have been mechayiv myself to pay you money for no good reason. And since I would, you can be mekadesh me with a hana, then I'm not being mechayiv myself to you money for no good reason. Right? That's not sensible. That doesn't make any sense. Right? So how's the Rambam going to get around this? And the answer is, what does the Rambam say? He says, you're right. It has nothing to do with the din arev. Ha'isha sha'amra tain dinar leploni matana. The kadesh anilach, the nasan va'amr la harei amikudashesli, behana as matana zu, shenatati alpich, harezu mikudashes, afal pishlo higia la klum, harei nehenes birtsona, shena asa, venehene ploni biglala. He's not giving her anything, and she's not receiving any money from him. Vechinim amr lo tindina la ploni matana, the kadesh lo, venatan lo vikidsha oto. Ploni, va'amar la harei mekudeshes li, behana'as matana zu, shekibalti bertzoneich, harei zu mekudeshes. There's no transfer of money between them, not in the actual money that he gives to Bob, nor in the fact that he's giving money to Bob bidibura. What is she getting?
She's getting hana.
Hana, exactly. And the Rambam Lishitaso thinks it doesn't really matter so much that you give kesef. What you need to be giving is kesef shel hana. You're really trying to transfer hana, not kesef. Kesef is a means to give hana. Here, by giving money, shena'asa birtsona, right? That harei nehenes birtsona shena'asa v'nehene ploni biglala, right? She's being mitkadeshet with the hana that he's giving her, even though he's not giving her any money. We're not even converting the hana into money, right? She told him to do something for her as a favor, right? That favor was a nice favor, right? She said, give someone else money as a favor to me. It'll make me feel good, right? How good? Shava pruta good. That's how good, right? So she went, she gave them the money. She felt kishmak. That hana is the kiddushin. Even though there's no financial interaction between them whatsoever, says the Rambam. And that's fine, because the Rambam thinks you don't need a financial interaction. You need to give hana. What's also important, says the Rambam, is that are you really being mekadesh midin arev?
No.
Right. Very good. There's no actual mechanism of arev involved at all. Right? Arev is an example of where someone receives, where someone gets hana, even though they're not actually getting what you're giving them, right? You see that one person could feel a gishmak, right? Could feel a level of responsibility and appreciation for somebody else, right? And their well-being causes them to get hana, right? But there's no actual financial interaction between them at all. Now, possibly, this could bring us back to the idea of arvas, less on a technical level, but say, look, once you see that there's this din of arvus that Klal Yisrael Revim Zeh LaZeh, and we all have responsibility to take care of each other. So me taking care of somebody else, right? Taking care of somebody else is something that benefits me, not financially, right? And it's not taking over their chiyuvim, right? But maybe it's on a more personal, you know, let's say spiritual level. My responsibility to another person, right, is enough to create Klal Yisrael Revim Zeh LaZeh and say, wow, you know, taking care of that other person is hana for me. Right? Or not. You can just say, stam, practically, right? Brought a smile to her face. Good. Perfect. So you don't have to get legal about it. You just say, look, practically, but then, of course, his language needs to be what? It needs to be not with the money that I'm giving to Bob, but with the hana that you're getting from the fact that I'm listening to you and giving hana to Bob. Yeah, not that.
Isn't this kind of just the same as Ritva, except he kind of just disconnects it a bit more from Avot? Like, they both end up having the same Lashon Kedushin almost of, with the Hana that you're getting from me doing your words in Ram's place, what? Biglala.
Okay, yes, but no. Yes, in the sense that both of them are external to the actual money that he's giving. But what's interesting is two things. One is, according to the Ritva, it's part and parcel of the din of Arvos, right? You really are being Mekadesh midin Arev, because Arev has two financial interactions, right? And Mishtabed Behana Dimati Le Shahalov Hilvelze Alemunato, the Hana Becholduchta Chashuva Kikasef, the Hana is Kasef, there's a transfer of Kasef between them in the insurance policy, right? And he's saying, Hareat Mikudeshas Li Beoso Hana Shenatati Leploni Mana Bidiburech. Right, with the Hana that I gave money to Ploni by your command, right? But that Hana is turning it to Kasef, and that Hana is what creates the financial responsibility of the insurance policy, which is part of Arvas. Meaning for the Ritva, even though it's external to the money that you're giving, right, it is internal to the din of Arvas. And it's a financial interaction, right? There's a genuine financial interaction, which some, you know, in cases of Arvos creates a insurance policy. It pays the premium of the insurance policy. And in this case, it's going to create Kiddushin. According to the Rambam, there's no financial interaction going on at all. And there's no real din Arvos. You're not saying, we have a Choshen Mishpat din that solves this, called Arvos. According to the Ritva, we're saying, no, don't worry. There's a Choshen Mishpat din called Arvos that connects them financially. So there's a real Kiddushei Kesef. According to the Rambam, there's no Kiddushei Kesef here, right? There's Kiddushei Hana. But Kiddushei Kesef is really Kiddushei Hana anyway. Because really you're trying to get Hana.
The Rambam would just read the Gemara very, like when it says Midian Arev, that's not meant to be taken exactly. It's just similar. It just looks kind of similar. So that helps us understand it.
Exactly. Okay. Right? It's, because what are you doing? Hare amikudashasli, bahanas matanazu, shenatati alpich, hare zimikudashas. Why? Because even though lo bhigia lo klum, hare nehenez birtsona, shena asa, vinehene ploni biglala. Right? At the end of the day, she's getting the hana. Now, what's also funny is that the Gemara said, lo nehenez klum, right? Language of the Gemara by Arev was afopish lo nehenez klum. Or lohigi hana liyada.
That's liyada.
Right? But the Rambam's saying, it's not liyada. Exactly. Natan's saying, right? The hana didn't get liyada, but she got the hana. Right? Not in her hands, but in her neshama. She felt the gishmak. And according to the Rambam, it's about feeling the gishmak. Now, I think the more we say that, the more we make it dependent on feeling the gishmak, the more that the Maisa Kiddushin is meant to create an emotional relationship between them, right? A cure of hadas, and less to be a formal ma'isa kinyan. For Tosvos, it seems like it's more aimed at being a formal ma'isa kinyan, right? You need legally to start the ishas. It needs to be a legal act, right? That creates a relationship between two people. And formal ma'isa kinyan is the perfect way to do that, right? According to the Rambam, it's more about its impact of creating a kira of hadas between them, right? Creating an emotional connection. So the hana, the transfer of hana, right, is a way to start some sort of relationship between them emotionally as well. And therefore, it makes sense that you emphasize the hana and you is less important about the exact transfer of kasef. For Tosas and the Ritva, you need to have a transfer of kasef. Otherwise, there's no formal maisekinyan. And how could you have ishos without formal maisekinyan? Okay, perfect. So, right, Kiddushin Midin Arev, either you could say, there really is a Ma'is in Asina, right? Like we saw in Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Arev is actually doing a Ma'is in Asina. It's halachic, right? It's not physical. You don't see it physically going into the Arev's hands, but it literally went through the Arev's hands, right? Toso says, it's Kiddushin Midin Arev is a Kenyan, right? There's a monetary interaction which exists and creates Kenyan, right? And Tosa says, because it says, if the Arev actually got the Dmei Halva, right? And then you have, really, I put him here, but I really shouldn't have. It was the Ritva who says, well, actually, Kiddushin Midian Arev is not really the money that you're giving that's the Kiddushin, it's the Hana you're getting. But that Hana, says the Ritva, is really Ma'oz Kinyan. Right? It's just that it's the insurance policy money instead of the loan money. Okay? While the Rambam says, no, it's about the actual genuine Hana that you're transferring. You're giving over Hana, and therefore that Hana creates issues. Okay. What about Rashi? So Rashi is a little tricky. Ladati, right? Rashi doesn't really tell us what he thinks. He just says Akadish Anilach, Ukishanatnu Lo, Amarla, His Kadshili Mikudeshes, Afalgav Delo Mati Hana Liada. Okay, makes it harder to say he holds like the Rambam because he sounds like there's no Hana going there at all, right? You don't need Hana, but if there's no Hana, there's no Kesef. What is that? Right? So what is it? Midin Arev. Mimasha Matsino Batorah Sha Arev Mishtabe Lemilve Anu Yecholim Lilmod. Okay? From the fact that there's Din Arev in the Torah, that's sufficient. Okay? So again, what's that really mean? If there's no Hana and there's no Kesef, so what's going on? So either you could say, even if there's no Hana, there's still Kesef going on, Midin Arev. Or you could say, right, Midin Arev teaches us that there is some sort of Hana. Right? It's just very unclear in Rashi. But Rashi, at least, he doesn't feel the need to explain what is going on, what there is. Okay? Now, if you look at Rino Hanan ben Shmuel, the Rino Hanan ben Shmuel is the Rambam's, I forgot what you call it, but the in-laws. Okay? His daughter married Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. Okay? He was the Av Beis Din in Fustat, in Old Cairo, where the Rambam lived. Okay? He and the Rambam were close. So, Menachanan ben Shmuel had a parish on Ladam Sechtos. Amrisha Arev, Afal Pisha lo lakach min amal veklum, velo higia hana liyado, chayv l'shalim lamilve. Hoil v'shama mimenu v'kibel arvuso. Since he listened to him and he was makabel his arvus. K'moche nami zu isha afu shelo higia laklum harei niknes kishe asa ritzona v'nene ploni biglala. Okay? Since he was osa ritzona, right, that is what creates the kiddushin. Now, I thought that the only real way to explain this shita, unless, you know, he's just not really explaining his own shita and he's just sort of, you know, giving like a vague explanation to Gemara, is if he really thinks that the asa ritzona is the key, so then maybe, that I think that really points to this idea of mais and asina, okay? And then maybe they could also use to explain Rashi, right? Which is, it's not necessarily about giving her hana or giving her kesef. Right? Maybe what's really important is the Maisa Nasina, meaning the interaction. Okay? If the Maisa Nasina is what matters, it's this interaction between them that matters, right? He says, oh, I want to marry you, and she accepts the Kiddushin. She doesn't need to physically accept it, right? What she needs to do is accept the overture of Kiddushin. Okay? If he's Asa Ritzona, so then she accepted the overture of Kiddushin. And then the Maisa Kiddushin happened. Right? It's less about a particular transfer of money or Hana, and more about the actual interaction of the two parties. Right? He says, I want to marry you. And she says, you know, and she accepts that overture and he does, right? He completes that interaction between them. He's Osa Ritzona. So then that, you know, that interaction happened. The Maisa Kiddushin happened. Was there a Maisa Kinyan? Not necessarily, right? Was there an Asinas Hana, right? Not necessarily. But in terms of Maisa Kiddushin, maybe the Asa Ritzona is going to work. Yeah, Rachel.
like when we were first reading the Gemara, and now this is just coming up again in my mind, that it just sounds like she's initiating the Kiddushin, even though, because by her saying, oh, go do this, and him doing that, she's accepting it. But that's him, like, in the end, I don't know, following up on her initial.
Right. I think we don't have a problem with her where they're doing that. You know, that's perfectly fine. Like in terms of like Amrahi, you know, and sort of issues. Yeah, I think there's no problem with her. As long as the Maisa Kiddushin is being done by him, right? And maybe even also the Amira, you know, it's fine for her to, right, to be a active participant. At the end of the day, the Maisa Nesina needs to be done by him, right? So she's saying, oh, you know, give the stuff to Bob and his Gajna and Nilach. And he Osa Ritzona, right? At the end of the day, he's the one who's Osa Ritzona, but it's fine for it to be Ritzona and not necessarily Ritzona. Adraba, right? According to the Rambam, it's all about, in a certain sense, Ritzona, because she's the one who needs to get Hana and feel the cure of Hadas. But I think the, I'm not sure how, you know, whether that would play in with Rabbeinu Chanan ben Shmuel one way or the other. But this idea of like Osa Ritzona, again, this is a little bit vague, because what does it mean to be Osa Ritzona? Anytime he, I don't, you know, it has to be a Maisa Kiddushin. So Stam, if she says jump up and down three times, we're not going to say, oh, you know, Osa Ritzona, fantastic, right? You know, that's not going to work. So, you know, I think with the fact that it's the din of Arev also helps us say that there was a real interaction, right? Because Arev also, the commitment comes from, oh, you know, they're all standing together and he did it based on Osa Ritzono of the Arev to give the Halva. And therefore that Arev is involved in this Maisa. So they're all participants in some sort of joint venture. So that allows us here to say this is the same sort of idea of, oh, he's Osa Ritzona with the Mo's Kiddushin. And that completes the Maisa Kiddushin. Now, what's interesting is that then it's saying, like, there's Mo's Kiddushin on the one hand, and there's the Maisa Kiddushin, right? And the Mo's Kiddushin is not just, like, the means of doing the Maisa Kiddushin. Or it's a means of doing the Maisa Kiddushin, but it's not necessarily so integral that she gets it, right? You need to do a Maisa Kiddushin with Mo's Kiddushin. But it's not necessarily that, like, you need it her to get it at the end of the day. Because as long as you're Osa Ritzona with it, that might be, like, good enough, right? It works very well if we see it as like as a legal maisa, right? You need to go to the judge, you need to sign the marriage license. So here too, like, you know, you need to like go and do it and do something which shows that you're married. But it would definitely de-emphasize, and that would imply, I think, right? Marriage is more of a natural state, that needs formal recognition. So you don't necessarily need formal maisa kinyan because, you know, maybe from my Sakinian, you need to like create something, Yesh Miayin. Here, you're just acknowledging that they're, you know, what pre-Matan Torah was already, would have been marriage by itself, right? So you need to give it some sort of appropriate, right, Maisa Lifnei Kiddushin, right? The Rambam's Lashon of Kiddushin is, oh, you need to do, you know, Kod Matan Torah Ratzahu Ratzahi, Acher Matan Torah, you need to do a Maisa that's made to the fact that they're getting married. So maybe Rabbeinu Chanan ben Shmuel really is taking that all the way and saying, oh, okay, so you need a Maisa Kiddushin, right? But what's important is the Maisa Kiddushin, right? And it's for it to be clear that the Maisa Kiddushin happened. In order for it to be Maisa Kiddushin, it needs to be Shava Pruta, and it needs to be Shava Kasef, but it's not necessarily that she needs to actually get money out of it or Hana out of it. Maybe. I think that would work very nicely. It's like, oh, it's also its own, so like, bam, right? The Maisa Kiddushin is sufficient. Okay, that I think that would work best with that sort of gisha towards kiddushin, right? They really want you know, this maisa that's made to the fact that they're getting married. But marriage itself is mostly a natural, right, pre matan Torah state, which we then elevated post matan Torah, right, to have more kiddusha and higher standards and more commitment. But those are all about, right, formalizing and crystallizing the actual ishos, which already kind of exists. So then maybe you could create ishos as long as you do the Maisa Kiddushin, right? But the Maisa Kiddushin is more to give legality to the ishos as opposed to create the ishos, right? It's sort of like you're not married if you didn't do Maisa Kiddushin, right? But Maizik Yidushin might not be the only thing that makes him married, right? They're getting married, and it doesn't work unless you do Maizik Yidushin, right? Or their intent to get married is, you know, tied into the Maizik Yidushin, but it's ultimately their intent to get married that's really the core motivator here. Right? Well, Toso says no, right? Halacha gave it this Maisa Kinyan, in which case the Maisa Kinyan in and of itself is really the mechanism that creates the Chalos. Right? Now, it might also need Nisuin, it might also need their intent to, it obviously needs their intent to get married, v'chule, but maybe those things are about creating the halachic Chalos of marriage. A good example of this is like a Nazir. Okay? How do you become a Nazir? You say you want to be a Nazir. Right? By doing that, there's this big Chalos of being a Nazir, which exists in Halacha, right? And you are triggering that. But you're not thinking, oh, I wanted to have Isra X, Y, and Z. Okay? You're accepting this Chalos. And then the Chalos is Chal on you with this whole package deal. Right? Maybe Tosa sees this condition the same way, is that you decide you want to be married, right? And then all the dinim of marriage, right, apply and are Chal. An alternative is to say, no, right? Really what you're doing is you're entering into the marriage state, right? You're getting married. You're creating a relationship with this other person, right? That needs, and there, and that comes with a halachic, halachic trappings and halachic chaluyos and halachic parameters, right? But those are all halachic, you know, chaluyos, which give structure to something which you're creating, right? You're creating a marriage. Halacha says, here's the way to do it, and here are the parameters of it, right? But it's not that you're deciding to trigger the halachic chalos of marriage. You're creating a marriage, right? And halacha is giving it form, right? And giving it structure, and giving it potency, okay? In which case, the asa ritzona, right, making it very much dependent on, like, fulfilling her her ratzon, or maybe according to them, the idea of creating kir of hadas, might actually be very, very central to the whole concept of marriage, because you need to create marriage in order to create ishus. Okay, so we'll stop here. And on Sunday, we'll continue, we'll kind of go over that again, because it's a lot to digest. And then some nafkaminas of these different shitas, and maybe we'll refine it more through the nafkaminas. Okay, yishkoach.
Cool. Thank you. I think Merrick.